I love child dedications. I really do, for a couple of reasons. Number one, I love parents who take a stand, frankly, against a world that I just really believe is standing against them. I really believe that this world is trying everything it can to stand against parents. I believe this world doesn't think you have any rights. I believe this world thinks it knows better than you do, Victoria, about how to raise your children. I think that when I say this world, I mean the world systems. You know, I think the world thinks that it has more rights to decide how you rear your children than you do. And I hate that. And so I love a parent who says, you know what, you're not going to make the decisions about my kids. You can't have my kids. You can't just take my children from me without, I'm going to fight you. So I love that. I also love a church that says, listen, to the best that we can, we're going to try to stand with you. Now, that's limited, obviously. When you come here, I love the folks here that say, you know, once a month, I love our nursery workers. And by the way, God bless you. I love the nursery workers that say, hey, you know what, at least once a month, you know, or once every couple of months, I'm gonna rock your baby. I'm gonna watch your toddler. I'm gonna love on your child so that you can come up here and enjoy a church service. I'm gonna do that. I love that our nursery workers do that. I love our kids' own workers who say, hey, you know, once a month, I'm gonna be downstairs so you can come up here and you can do your thing up here, and I will take care of your children. I'll love on your children. I'll try to teach them a little something. We try to do that, and you know, that's kind of here. I would love for us to be a little bit more honest when we say, you know, hey, let's just be frank. Let's truly be honest. When we say, hey, we're going to pray for you parents, you know, all you young parents, and we say, hey, we're going to pray for you and your children. Well, let's don't lie. I mean, let's don't do the Christian thing. Well, I'm praying for you, brother. No, you're not. I mean, let's be honest. Most of us, can we just be honest for a minute? Most of us, when we say, hey, I'm praying for you, brother, what that means is, while the pastor's praying, I will sort of be in agreement with that. But let's face it, when we leave this room, we don't. Right? Okay, you hypocrites. Let's don't be liars. I would love to say that, but so my point is, let's, you know, the best we can, the child dedication, what it means is I love the fact that we as a church, we say, hey, the best we can, we're with you while you're trying to stand against the world. We want to stand with you the best we can. But that being said, ultimately, you know, we're trying to recognize the daunting, I guess what I'm saying is we're trying to recognize the daunting task a parent has today. Okay, all of us older folks, let's be honest. It is a daunting task today. I mean, a really daunting task. These public schools are not. We did not get the kind of flack from a public school that these parents are getting today. We didn't. They're not calling into question everything that we do. They're not looking for stuff, and you know, we didn't have this, you know, this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it's a much more daunting task to parent a child with the way that the world is you know, is today than it was when, you know, these parents are facing. So we're trying to recognize the daunting task. Now, that being said, ultimately, you know, ultimately, what happens to this child, in the life of these children? It's really going to come down, though, to the decisions that these kids make. I mean, let's just be honest. I know every parent in the room, every young parent, would love to believe. Every young parent in the room would love to believe that you have you can control what happens to your child in this room and the decisions they make and how their lives are going to turn out. But the fact of the matter is, it's really going to come down to what they choose. It's going to come down to the decisions they make. It really is. Don't get me wrong. Parents are extremely important. Extremely important. Grandparents, you're also very important. Sunday school teachers are very important. You know, the other adults in their lives, they're important. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're not important, but the truth of the matter is, parents, especially as they get older, but the truth is, parents of teenagers, parents of adults, the fact of the matter is, you know, we tend to take parents of you know, teenagers and especially young adults tend to take too much credit for the successes of their children, and also have a tendency to take way too much blame for their failures. I deal with this all the time in counseling. I deal with parents all the time. And it's like, you know, they say, well, my child did this, my child did that. And it's like, yeah, okay, that was really poor choice on their part. Oh, I'm such a failure as a parent. Based on what? Did you make that decision for your child? See, we just have a tendency to exaggerate both our influence and accepting too much credit for success and too much blame, because ultimately every child has to decide what they will believe and how they're going to live. And I take this straight from God. So if you don't believe me, just take it from God. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. And I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang in here with me. And let me just give it to you. Here we go. So the Bible just simply says this. This is straight from God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You see this? This is not only you and me, but this is your child, Victoria. This is Elena too. I know you want so badly, and again, I'm kind of talking a little bit to Stephen and Victoria, but I'm talking to all of us, every parent in the room. This is it, folks. This is Elena. Is as hard as it is to believe this little baby girl that had to be held today, that can't do anything for herself right now. There's going to come a day where she is going to have to stand before the creator of this universe. And she's going to have to give an account for herself. She is not going to be able to point to Victoria or to Stephen or to anybody else. She's not going to be able to point to Hunter and say, God, look at the example you gave me and an older brother. Hunter's not going to be able to say, look at my grandfather. Now, he can make a case. I mean, he can point to two of them right here. And God is going to say, you know, you got a point. But it's not a good enough point, because ultimately you still made a choice. Look, you know, we have this thing, we have this principle that God gets. So that being said, so parents have this influence, but it's not an overriding influence. It's not a dominating influence. It's ultimately going to come down to the choices of every individual. So what is it that God tells parents? What is it that God tells repeatedly? You know, believe it or not, there is actually only one thing that God repeatedly tells parents over and over and over in Scripture. There's one thing that God keeps telling parents. If you read through the Scriptures, if you read through the Old Testament all the way into the New Testament, there is only one thing that God keeps telling parents. And by the way, for those of you that are saying, I didn't come here today for a parenting class, I'm not a parent, or my parenting is done, or I'm too young for that, I don't want to hear a parenting class, don't worry, because it's actually the second half of something that God tells all of us. So I'll get to back to all of us here in just a minute. I'm just using the parenting thing as the opening illustration for something that God's going to tell all of us. What is it that God tells parents? It's really just one thing. It's one thing. And by the way, it's not whipping your kids. That's what some are saying. Please let it be. Please let it be that. Please let it be disciplining kids. It's not that. It's not that. What is it? It's not feeding your kids, believe it or not. That's kind of a given. It's not over. It's not even loving your kids, actually. It's not even. Stop guessing. Let me get to it. We're going to be here all day if you don't be quiet. Actually, it is that. Kind of. It's teach them. It's teach them. God says, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to teach them. Teach them. And really, what he wants? He said, I want you to teach them about me. Not coerce them, not indoctrinate them, not force them to memorize. Don't have them sit and write sentences. Not like that. He said, I just want you to teach them. Let me just show it to you. He said, He said, I just want you to teach them about me, give them the information about me, and then let them decide. Let them decide what they believe. Teach them about me. Don't force it. Don't cram it down their throats. Don't make it something so unpleasant. Let me show it to you. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 5. He's talking to his people now. He said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. Now, time out. This is a little preview of the rest of the message. I just want you to notice, because this is actually going to come up. It's going to be really important later. You notice, he said, these words which I command thee this day, they'll be in your heart. You can't teach something if it's not already in your heart. Amen. That'll come up here in a little bit. He said, it's actually got to be in your heart. You have to know it before you can teach it. Now, he said, these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. And then notice what he says here. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, he's not giving a prescription here. This is not these are the four times you need to do it. No, he's basically saying, look, just kind of as you live your life. You know, when you sit around your house, when you go walking around, you know, when you're taking a walk, when you lie down, when you rise up. He's saying basically when you live your life. He said, look, I just want you, as you live your life, you know, as you're sitting around, as you're taking a walk, when you're getting ready to go to bed, and you know, when you get up in the morning and you're kind of doing your thing, as you're living your life with your children, just teach them about me. Just teach them about me. You know, when you're taking a walk and you see the ants, you know, teach them, hey, do you know God says, go to the anthill sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. You know what that means? Do you see how they work? Do you see how they're constantly working? Do you see how they're so busy about they're putting stuff out? He said, look, just notice. You know, when you're out late at night, you're going in, you see the stars and you see all that. I was at my grandkid's house the other night, and you know, late at night, it just happened to be a clear sky. And I was just talking to them about how there were planets out. I was showing them there were some stars, quote, that were so much brighter than everything else. That's how you know they're planets. And we were just talking about it. It didn't have to be a big deal, but God said, look, I just want you to teach your kids. All right, so this is the thing. And you'll see this over and over again. And somebody said, train children. Well, that's the verse we all know, right? Everybody knows, train up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs chapter 22. Verse 6, I think. I think I put it in there. Train up a child in the way you should go. So this is what God is saying. This is what God is constantly telling. So here's the point. God gave the responsibility to teach children to parents, not to public schools. God gave the responsibility to teach children to parents. Now, look, public schools are, in all kinds of schools are a tool for parents to use. And I've said this before, look, please understand, parents, the public schools, look, if you can afford a private school, great. If you can homeschool, even better. Public schools are a tool. Granted, and I've said this before, I've used this illustration, public schools are a hammer to try to drive a screw in. You can get it in there, but that screw's going to get bent over. It's going to get some damage. It's going to become damaged. And if that's the only one you can afford, so be it. That's what you have to do. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. But you know, you may have to do that. That's fine. That's what you have to do. But the point is, it's not the public school's job to teach your children about God. That's your job. That's your job. And God said, look, this is what I want you to do. I just want you to teach. Now, I said, this wasn't just about parents. So, but let's continue the illustration. Let's finish it up because there's a much bigger point here. So what's the problem in our world? Can we all agree that most of the young people, most children today in the elementary schools in Delaware here, do you think that most children know very much about God? So should we just rail on all the young parents today? I mean, come on. They're not teaching their children about God. Let's just take a few minutes and just rail on all the young parents. No, you know why? How are they supposed to teach something they don't know? How are most young parents of the young children in the elementary school supposed to teach something they don't know? They don't know about God. You can't fault them for not teaching their children about God when they don't know about God. How are you supposed to teach something they don't know? Oh, so here's the problem, right? The problem is their parents. So let's rail on their grandparents of these young kids. It's their fault, right? Let's rail on their grandparents. Okay, we could rail on. We've been railing on grandparents already today. I mean, look at these grandparents. They got ponytails. What's the world coming to? Ponytails and goatees. What kind of world do we live in here? Well, see, but I mean, this is what Christianity has sort of come to. We like to sit around, Christians like to sit around and rail against young families. Rail against, first they rail against young children for not knowing God. Then they rail against their parents for not teaching them about God. Then we stop to think about it. It's like, well, let's rail against the parents of the parents because they didn't teach their kids, and so now they're not teaching their kids. When are we going to stop railing against parents for not teaching their children about God and put the blame where it actually belongs, which is the church? You see, the problem is the church. I'll prove it to you. See, the schools were never given the job of teaching about God, ever. That was never the school's job. It was actually given to the church. See, God gave his people one real commandment. I said there was one thing that God told parents to do, right? What was it? Teach. Well, God gave the church, God gave his people actually one real job. I said he gave the parents one real job because that was just an extension, though, of the one thing that he told every child of God to do, and it's kind of a two-part thing. So let me tell you what God actually, before he told parents to teach, he told every one of his children to do one thing, but it's kind of a two-part thing. And the teaching part is sort of an extension of this. Here's what it is. He said, let me just give it to you simply. He said, here's what every child of mine is supposed to do. Learn and teach. Learn and teach. It's kind of what Bill Hunt reminded us of at Christmas time. If you were here the Wednesday after Christmas, he reminded us of a principle taught in the New Testament. He said, every child of God, every Christian has been told, here's your job. Here's your job as a Christian. Here's what you're told to do. If you're a Christian, here's what you are commanded to do. To know him, that's the learning part, and to make him known, that's the teaching part. Right? Am I right on that, Bill? Amen. To know him, that's the learning part. And to make him known, that's the teaching part. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. See, this is what we're supposed to do. Look, isn't this what you expect me to do? Yes. Yes. This is what you expect me to do. Right? You expect me to do this. And you should. You should expect this of me. This is exactly what my job description ought to be. I am supposed to go out and learn, and then I'm supposed to come here and teach you. Mm-hmm. This is, so, and by the way, this is why I am so, I cannot express to you how happy you all have made me. Our Wednesday night Bible study attendance has doubled. Amen. In the last 3 months. It's doubled. I cannot tell you how happy I am about the excitement that is being felt across our church, about I cannot tell you. And yes, I have spent the last couple of years in such a deep study. And I'm bringing this to you, and I'm so overjoyed. I am so happy I'm getting emails from people that have never come. I'm getting emails even outside of our church. I am so happy about that. Yes, that's exactly what's happened. I have studied. I am teaching. Some of you are studying. What excites me the most is there are some of you that are saying, Pastor, I have never, ever really wanted to read the Bible. I've never wanted to study the Bible. Now I am so looking forward to learning more about the Bible. Amen. So excited about it. That is thrilling for me. So yeah, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about learning and teaching. So this is what you expect from me. And you should expect this from me, but it shouldn't just be me. We're all supposed to do this. We're supposed to learn and to teach. Now, I think everybody, you know, this is, it's an exciting thing that everybody wants to learn And I know there's a little bit of trepidation about this whole teaching thing, but just hang on for a minute. But see, this is what was supposed to be. This is what Jesus said. This is how it's supposed to work. It's supposed to, Jesus taught his apostles. His apostles were then supposed to teach everybody, and it was supposed to spread across the entire world. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. See, this was the plan. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So this was the plan, right? Mm-hmm. So the plan was, Jesus said, I'll teach you, Peter, I'll teach you, John, I'll teach you, James, and he did. They were then supposed to go out and teach everybody. Everybody was supposed to learn, and then everybody was supposed to, as they're going about their lives, right? Everybody was supposed to just talk about it. Everybody was supposed to talk about it everywhere they went. While they're sitting around the house, what was all that stuff back in Deuteronomy? You know, while you're sitting around the house, while you're taking a walk, everywhere you go. So everybody was supposed to know. And that's kind of how the New Testament church did it for a while. So here's the thing. So what we're seeing today, watch, what we're seeing today isn't a teaching failure. It's a learning failure. It's a learning failure. People stopped learning. I'll come back to that and I'll show it to you. See, so whose fault is it that kids are growing up in homes with parents who don't know what to teach? It's the church's fault. It's the church's fault. Somewhere along the line, the church stopped the spreading. The church stopped spreading the message. Something happened. Somehow or another, the church stopped doing the spreading of this message. And again, and I know we're 2,000 years down the road, right? Did I lose you? I get, you say, well, Pastor, it's kind of too late now. What do you want us to do? What, are we supposed to go back and fix the whole world? No, we're not supposed to fix the whole world. I'll make a point here in a minute. But somewhere along the way, the church messed up. We've lost our way. It seems like some have found a way. Okay, the church either stopped teaching or the church stopped being attractive. Would you agree with me on that? The church either stopped teaching or the church stopped being attractive. Because people, either the church just stopped teaching, and so people stopped learning, or the church stopped being attractive and people quit coming to be taught. Or both. So here's the thing. It seems like we've lost our way. It seems like some have found a way to be attractive, but they're not teaching. I mean, there's some that are attractive, right? I mean, you know, others found a way to teach, but they're not attractive. Some have found a way to be attractive. I just got an article sent to me that mega churches, do you know these mega churches that have become so big and so popular and all that, they're having trouble replacing the pastors who started them. They're having trouble replacing their mega church pastors. I get these feeds, and they said they're taking years to replace. These guys want to retire now, and they're in their 50s. They're beyond their prime. They want to retire. They've made a lot of money. They've done really well. They want to retire. So get this. So I'm reading this article because I was curious. I'm just curious. They said they want to retire. So here's their problem. They want to replace these guys. Here's their criteria. They're looking for replacements that are between the ages of 38 and 45. That's the prime age. They have to have a doctorate in divinity, and they have to have come from a church of at least 500, and they have to be dynamic speakers. And I'm thinking, okay, so they got to be between the ages of 38 and 45. They got to be dynamic pastors. They got to have all the. I'm thinking, well, they might as well just put in there. They also have to have a pet unicorn. Why don't you just put that in there too? It's like good luck. No wonder they can't find anybody. You know, it's like. So they got this. They figured out a way to be attractive, but there's not any teaching going on. And then you've got some churches that they're doing this teaching. So there's this problem. And yet, so churches are struggling. The church itself is struggling. But here's the problem. Listen, we're forgetting. Christianity's forgetting the church isn't church. Church isn't a building. It's not even a localness. Church is people. We're the church. The people are the church. So it's we who are supposed to be learning and teaching. Now, a whole bunch of you just shut down. You said, okay, look, I'm cool with the learning part, not cool with the teaching part. Don't talk to me about teaching. Listen, here's the good part. Here's the good part. Oh, I got to really hurry. I got to hurry. Here's the really good part. We only need to focus on one of these two things. You say, well, you're telling me I'm supposed to learn and I'm supposed to teach. You don't have to actually worry about the teaching part. And I'll tell you why. You know, I know you only really have to worry about the learning part. Because God is brilliant. God is brilliant. Did you know that? God is really good at what he does. In fact, he's just perfect at what he does. He set this up so that all you and I really have to worry about is the learning part. If we get the learning part down the way he wants us to get the learning part down, we don't actually have to worry about the teaching part, and I'm going to show you why, and I'm going to do it as fast as I possibly can. So let me show you. Here's the thing. He set it up so that if we do the learning part, that's the knowing him part well enough, the other part actually becomes automatic. It almost becomes self-fulfilling. Let me show it to you in scripture quickly. Jesus told his disciples to go to Jerusalem. He said, go there and wait for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you about me. He will lead you into all understanding. And they did. And when the Holy Spirit came, you remember the story about Pentecost. And right after that, the apostles went out into the streets and they went everywhere telling everybody about Jesus. I mean, they were out in the streets, they're telling everybody, here's what happened. And the religious crowd, remember, the religious crowd who killed Jesus? Well, they came and they grabbed them and they brought them in and they arrested them. Now remember, these are the people who had just killed Jesus. They brought them in and they brought them in. By the way, they had healed a man and they brought him too. So they brought the healed man, they brought Peter and John and some of those guys in, and they brought them in, Acts chapter 14, verse 13, and here's what they said. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, I want to take just real quick, I just want to show you these two words, because we're talking about learning, right? We're talking about people. Here's what I want to show you. There are so many children of God today who don't think they can learn. There are so many children of God, you're so hard on yourself and you think, oh, I could never learn the Bible. I could never learn much about God. I could just never be like that. Pastor, I listen to you and I love what you say, but I walk out of here and I forget everything you said. Well, I want you to know how Peter looked. I want you to know how they looked at Peter. I want you to know how they looked at John. I want you to know how they looked at James and Matthew and Bartholomew and all those guys. I want you to know how people saw them. And I wanted you to see the words they used about them. They called them unlearned and ignorant men, but I want you to see how they looked in the Greek, okay? Now, unlearned, let me just show you. Unlearned just simply meant uneducated, but I want you to see the word they used for ignorant. That's the Greek word. That's the real Greek word, by the way. They called them idiotes. Would you care to know what that word is in English? Our translators were very gracious. When they saw that they were unlearned and idiots, okay, that's the word they actually used. All right, let's go back. So let's go to the next verse. So now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They marveled. They said, where did these guys learn this stuff? They were incredulous. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, let's quickly. Verse 16. Saying, what shall we do to these men? For they indeed a notable miracle had been done by them, and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. They cannot deny it. Verse 17, and it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in his name. Here, let me just translate that for you. They said, these guys have done something incredibly wonderful, but let's make sure they don't do it to anybody else. They said, these guys have done something great for this guy, but let's make sure they don't do it to anybody else. Verse 18, so they called them, commanded them not to speak or at all teach in the name of Jesus. Did you notice that? They said, you will not teach. Remember, these guys killed Jesus. Are you with me? They're talking to Peter and they said, don't forget, we killed Jesus. Don't teach anymore. You got it? You hear me? Am I clear? Peter and John answered and said unto them, hey, look, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you or God, yeah, you judge. Now watch what he says next. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Here's what Peter said. We can't help it. We cannot help but speak what we've learned. He said, we can't shut up. We can't not speak. We cannot not speak. Double negative. David said it this way. David said, my cup runs over. You know what I'm saying? You see, what they were saying was, we have learned so much, we can't help but teach what we've learned. This is the point. God said, look, if you take in so much about me, I've set it up to where you can't hold it inside. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, if you bring enough in, you won't be able to help but send some of it out. It will just come out. You'll be walking along with your family, and out of nowhere, it'll just come out. You won't be able to stop it. You'll be talking to your kids, and your kids will ask a question, and an answer will come out of your mouth, and you'll say, where did that come from? You'll be talking to your friends over a dinner, or you'll be out somewhere having dinner somewhere, or you'll be at work somewhere, and something will come up, and they'll need some help, and out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit will come out of something. Something will come out of your mouth, and you'll say, man, where did I get that? God said, this is how I set it up. You don't have to worry about teaching. I'll take care of that. The Holy Spirit will take care of that. But you got to learn it. You got to learn it. You got to put it in there. If you don't put it in there, I can't bring it out. If your cup is empty or half filled or three quarter filled, then there's nothing to come out. So get it in there. Learn. 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 If you'll learn, I can use it. If you'll learn, then I'll teach others through you. But if you don't learn, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. I just want you to learn. You know, even Jesus understood this. When 12-year-old Jesus, remember 12-year-old Jesus sitting in the temple? Mary and Joseph were halfway home to Nazareth, and they thought, where's Jesus? You know, don't you love these commercials where they got the red flags? These people are saying, their husband and wife are arguing. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you forgot to pack the whatever it is. Can they throw the red flag and they look at the replay? I can just see Mary and Joseph if they had that then. You forgot Jesus. No, you forgot Jesus. Let's look at the replay. And anyway, they end up back in Jerusalem. They find him in the temple. What's he doing? He's asking questions. That's the learning. And he's answering questions. That's the teaching. Sitting in the temple, he's doing both. And you know, and here's, you know, and he said, "Mom, don't you know I must be about my father's business?" See, this is what Jesus was saying. He was learning. He was learning, growing in stature, and all that stuff that we read about. So here's the thing. Listen, folks, we don't have a problem in America. We don't have a problem in America with people not being taught. We have a problem in America with people not learning. If God's people would learn, if God's people would just commit themselves to learning, 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 learning,